Thank you, guys. That was great. Look in James chapter 4. This is Memorial Day. I want to start with a passage there, James chapter 4, because the wars and the fighting we have in the world come from the evil in the human heart and the spiritual evil from Satan. I think we would all realize that. But James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, James, the brother of Jesus, and I really think James was the first book to be written after Jesus rose from the dead. And if you compare the book of James with the Sermon on the Mount, there are a lot of things. James was paying attention when his brother preached. And a lot of things in the Sermon on the Mount you'll find as repeats in the book of James. Book of James is a very Jewish book. You have a lot of proverbs in the book of James. The book of James has 118 verses, and 108 of them are commands on how to live the Christian life. This is a very practical book on living the Christian life, the book of James. But look with me at James chapter 4, verse 1. He asked the question, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you know that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up." Charles Spurgeon, the greatest Baptist preacher that ever lived, and he preached in London, England at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, said this. He preached a sermon on this passage. "In bad men, desires corrupt into lusts. They long after that which is selfish, sensual, and consequently evil. The current of their desire sets strongly in a wrong direction. These lustings in many cases become extremely intense. They make the man their slave. They domineer over his judgment. They stir him up to violence. He fights and wars. Perhaps he literally kills. In God's sight, who counts anger as murder, he does kill very often." Yeah, basic summary of people. Just read the newspaper. I want to talk about five things this morning on Memorial Day. A realistic review of war. What is war? War is where you kill people and break things. That's the whole purpose of war. Oh, people died in war. Really, no kidding. That's war, okay? It's called war. You kill people, you break things. The point of war is hurt the other side so bad they give up before you do. That is the purpose of war. Sometimes we forget that when politicians run wars. Omar Bradley, actually the last general of the Army, the last five-star general the American people ever had. Omar Bradley said, "War is hell." Francis Bacon said, "In peacetime, sons bury their fathers, but in wartime, fathers bury their sons." And that is very true. Someone said, I heard yesterday, "Staying alive is the only real glory of war." The only successful conflict is where you live through it. Or as George Patton said, it's not your duty to die for your country, it's duty to make the other guy die for his country. Benjamin Franklin said, "There is never a good war, and there is never a bad peace." at least nobody dies. I was reading an article about the count between 1500 BC and 1800 AD. There were 8,000 peace treaties. On average, they lasted 2 years. Peace doesn't last. St. Augustine, who died in 452 AD, wrote a book called The City of God, and in that book, he puts forth a just war theory. What is the theory of when are you justified to go to war? And one of the things he said was, you never go to war unless it's a last resort. You've tried everything else. He said, you never go to war to attack somebody. You go to defend yourselves or defend somebody else. And he says, you never go to war to obtain more land or obtain more natural resources. You don't go to war out of greed or out of pride. It's interesting, Colin Powell, when he was Secretary of State, General Powell was in Europe, and the Europeans were talking about how imperialistic the United States was, blah, 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 okay? And Colin Powell looked at him and said, listen, every time we fought a war in Europe, we never asked for anything. The only land we ever asked for in Europe was the land where we could bury our dead soldiers who died fighting for you. And I often remind arrogant French people that if it weren't for us, they'd be speaking German two times over. That's just the way it is, okay? Just war theory. You only attack military targets, you only kill soldiers. Unfortunately, that's not the way war works. They asked Albert Einstein one time after the invention of the atomic bomb, they said, Dr. Einstein, what do you think will be the weapons of World War III? And he said, I don't know. But I know that in World War IV, we're going to fight with sticks and rocks. Boy, that's something to look forward to. But we know that the world's not going to end that way. We know the world will end when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, not when someone launches a nuclear weapon. The realistic review of war. Number two, the regrettable reason for war. From whence come wars and fightings among you? From your greed, from your pride, for your selfishness. From whence come wars and fightings? Wars are on the inside. We struggle with doing right. We struggle against doing what's wrong. Everybody has that struggle. A lot of people give into it. From whence comes wars? Wars are on the inside. Fightings are on the outside. John Wesley Wright wrote a book in 1970 called Reentry about the Second Coming of Christ. That was 47 years ago, and he said at that time there'd been 180 wars and conflicts since World War II. I would imagine it's 500 to 800 wars since World War II. World War I, which our parents were born around, World War I was the war to end all wars. Remember that? Ended in 1919, yet 1939, 19 years later, we were in World War II. Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, died in 1900. Now, Nietzsche was not a Christian. He rejected the Bible. He admired Jesus. I don't think he was an atheist. But Nietzsche said God is dead, and what he meant by that was Europe had gotten away from Judeo-Christian foundations. And he predicted that Europe was going to break down, and Nietzsche was right. He died in 1900. Within 50 years, you had two world wars. You had unspeakable genocides. 1918, the genocide where the Turks murdered 1.8 million Armenians, the Armenian genocide. You had the Holocaust, where the Nazis killed 2 to 3 million gypsies, killed 6 to 8 million Slavs and Poles, and killed 6 million Jews. 70% of all the Jews in the world and 80% of all the rabbis in the world were murdered during the Holocaust. The Cambodian Holocaust in the 1970s, where the Khmer Rouge communists killed millions of people in Cambodia. The Stalin genocide, where Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union murdered 55 million Central Europeans, conquering them in the name of communism. And then the genocide in China where Mao Zedong let 60 million Chinese starve to death. When you got a million, what's 60 million? It's just zeros, guys. I mean, you know, what's a big deal? Drop in the bucket. 60 million people is a drop in the bucket when you don't care about life. Nietzsche was right, okay? Self-centeredness, pride, greed, I think a great example of that is a little territory called Alsace-Lorraine. It's below Belgium, between Germany and France, rich in coal. They speak German and French, because every time the French lost the war, Germany took them. Every time Germany lost a war, France took them. They're like a ping pong ball in the history for the last 200 years, Alsace-Lorraine. Why? Because we're fighting over energy. We're fighting over coal. We're fighting over natural resources. We're fighting over territory. And so they speak German and they speak French. Now, that's a regrettable reason for war. What are the real reinforcements of war? Wow, Satan. The thief cometh for to kill and to steal and to destroy, John 10:10. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Ephesians 6:12, the whole armor of God passage we read in the responsive reading. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. The first sin, Satan caused Adam and Eve to sin. And by the way, you know, Adam blamed it on Eve. You know, she gave it to me to eat, but he couldn't tell God he married the wrong woman. Because she was it, okay? The first murder, Cain murdered Abel. He was a murderer from the beginning. What's behind it? Greed, lawlessness, anarchy, rejecting laws. Interesting, the PowerPoint was made 2 years ago, and yet it talks about riots and demonstrations on college campuses. Wow. Anarchy, taking away our God-given rights. And you know, there are a lot of people today that you have freedom of speech only if you're saying what they want to hear. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among those life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, inalienable means it comes from God. It doesn't come from the government. Alienable rights come from the government. The government gives you a right, the government can take away that right. But inalienable rights come from God. And that's what you and I claim as Christians. Remember, Gerald Ford said one time, a government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have. Terrorism. And of course, Ramadan began Friday, and they are expecting more terrorist attacks during the 28 days of the month of Ramadan. 405 terrorist attacks in the world last year, and all but three were done by Muslims. When a Muslim suicide bomber blows you up, the religion of peace becomes the religion of pieces. And it's a religion. The Prophet Muhammad said in the Quran, what have I accomplished? I've accomplished through terrorism. Muhammad paid assassins to assassinate his enemies. Interesting. And of course, you have some countries like Pakistan that have anti-blasphemy laws, and so I could be put in prison or executed for saying that in Pakistan. Does Pakistan have freedom of speech? No. Saudi Arabia, the only religion allowed is Islam. You're not even allowed to carry a Bible in there or wear a cross into that country. Does Saudi Arabia have freedom of religion? No. You look at the countries. Turkey used to be a Christian nation. The seven churches in the book of Revelation were located in Turkey. Muslims came in, took it over, and they are exterminating and running all the Christians out. Lebanon was a Christian nation. By immigration and invasion, Muslims have taken over Lebanon and run almost all the Christians out of Lebanon. The real reinforcements of war are the devil and his supporters, spiritual and human. And we need to realize we're in a spiritual battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand against the evil day and having done all to stand. There was a deacon in prayer meeting, and the pastor would say, who would like to pray in prayer meeting tonight? And he would always pray, you know. And every time he would get up, he would pray, and his prayer would be good. But at the end of his prayer, he would always end it with, "And Lord, clean all the cobwebs out of my life." And he would pray that every Wednesday night. "Lord, clean all the cobwebs out of my life." And one night, one of the other guys got tired of that. And when he said, "Lord, clean all the cobwebs all out of my life," and the other guy jumped up and yelled, "And do something about the spider too." Guys, we can moan and complain about the evil in the world. You know, we can complain about politicians in Washington, and their national anthem is not the Star Spangled Banner. Their national anthem is "Bring in the Clowns." But what's behind it? The devil. And we are fighting against him through prayer and through other things. 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Now, what's the righteous response to war? First of all, we are to watch and be informed. Who are our enemies? Sun Tzu, the Chinese general, 2,500 years ago, wrote The Art of War, and this is what he said: "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle." We are to watch. 1 Corinthians 16:13. "Watch ye like men, be strong." What did Jesus tell the disciples? "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." We've got to watch. We've got to be informed. We've got to know our enemy. The Galatians 6:9, "Be not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not." Weariness is a problem. We get tired. We get tired of listening to it. We get tired of doing things. We get tired of trying to stand for the right thing. We faint, we take it easy, we lose courage, we relax. "Be not weary in well-doing." Or as that line in Outlaw Josie Wales, "There ain't no end to doing good." That's true. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Always abounding in the work of the Lord." Acts 24:16, "I exercise myself to always have a good conscience." 2 Corinthians 5:6, "We are always confident." 2 Corinthians 6:10, "As sorrowing, we are always rejoicing." Ephesians 6:18, "Giving thanks always for all things to God." Or 2 Corinthians 9:8, "Always having all sufficiency in all things." We're not supposed to get weary. "Be not weary in well-doing." Well, there's well-doing too. There ain't no end to doing good. Well-doing is about being and doing. First of all, it's about who we are. Who we are. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. If we are honest, we will tell the truth. If we are loyal, we won't stab our friends in the back. Well-doing is about who we are. And it's also about what we do. Service. Bobby Welch has written a book on spiritual war. Bobby is a friend of mine. Bobby was a Green Beret in Vietnam. He was shot up, blown up, laying on the battlefield, dying. A helicopter came in to haul away the dead bodies, and they threw him on the top of three or four other dead bodies. And then someone noticed his arm was moving, and someone yelled, "Hey, this one's still alive." So they took him to Army Hospital, and it took him months to recover. While he was laying there dying, he promised God, "God, if you'll save me, I'll live for you." Bobby grew up in a rough city. He said that by the time he was 30, everybody he ran around with was either dead or in prison. All of his friends. He went into the Army. Bobby Welch, I met him right after he graduated from Southwestern Seminary. He went to First Baptist Church, Daytona Beach, became the pastor of First Baptist Daytona Beach, became president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Bobby Welch, and invented the Faith Evangelism Program. Bobby Welch. But Bobby tells this story in his book. A dying soldier asked the hospital chaplain to send a message to his Sunday school teacher. "Tell her I die a Christian, that I have never forgotten her Sunday school lessons." A few weeks after he sent this message, the chaplain received this reply from the Sunday school teacher. "May God have mercy on me. Only last month I resigned my Sunday school class because I felt my teaching had done no good through the years. I am going back to my pastor at once and tell him I will try again in Jesus' name, and I will be steadfast to the end." Folks, we never know, and we never give up. Waiting for the harvest. The farmer plants, he waits. I got a tomato this week. My tomato plants had their first tomato, okay? Terrible. It's the size of a golf ball, but I've got a tomato, all right? You plant, you wait. You wait, and you wait some more. Finally, there's some kind of harvest. And it's up to God sometimes the harvest you get. But I think of William Carey, my hero that I studied when I was a teenager. William Carey went to India in 1792 as the first foreign missionary, and he worked 7 years before he had his first convert. But he kept on keeping on. They asked General George Patton one time, he was commander of the Fifth Army. They said, "General Patton, what's your strategy?" And he said, "Attack, attack, attack." And that's what he did, probably the greatest ground commander we've ever had in the U.S. Army. You know, warfare, we are at war, and we are in a fight. Is that a bad thing? Well, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. But sometimes the good thing to do is to fight the evil. George Washington said in his farewell address, "The only way to have peace is to at all times be ready for war, because evil people only respect strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Robert Oppenheimer, that developed the atom bomb, said, they asked him, "What's the best defense against the atom bomb?" And he said, "Peace." You know, you and I went through those drills where we climbed under our desk and covered our hands with our you know, yeah, like that was going to do a lot of good here in Florida during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Yeah. What's the best defense against the atom bomb? Peace. But peace starts in people's hearts. Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee." We can resist the devil, James 4:7, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." We can pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." And we can believe and take unto yourselves the shield of faith, whereby you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then number 5, relentless reckoning about war. What can we say about war that's absolutely true? We can say that God never stops loving. Jeremiah 33, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." God never stops judging, for our God is a consuming fire. Some people forget that God is still a judge, and he will judge evil, and he will judge evil people, and he will judge the evil deeds of evil people. God doesn't stop loving, God doesn't stop judging, and God doesn't stop saving. It's interesting. I've got a couple of books now that I've read about Muslim terrorists who have become Christians. God can and does change people's hearts. And we need to keep praying for that. God is reaching some of the Muslims in the Muslim world, and we need to keep praying for that and praying for the Christians living in the Muslim world. I was listening to J. Vernon McGee on the radio through the Bible radio, and they had a letter from a Christian that says, I live in a Muslim country. I'm the only Christian in my village. But every day on the radio, I listen to your Bible study, and you encourage me to keep on trusting Jesus as my personal Savior. We need to pray for the Christians in those Muslim countries. I remember Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. When he was in power, we only knew of three Christians in the whole country of Libya. And Gaddafi said publicly, if I find a Christian in my country, I will kill him with my own hands. Yeah. There are evil people in the world that are not only our enemies as Americans, they are enemies of our God. And it is a religious war. Bobby Welch interviewed a Green Beret that fought in Fallujah in the Gulf War. He ran out of ammunition and was fighting hand-to-hand combat. And he said, Soldier, Sergeant Major Pryor, he said, Sergeant Major, how would you define hand-to-hand combat? He said, you do whatever. Whatever, digging, scratching, biting, hair pulling, ear ripping off, whatever you got to do to get the job done, that's what you do. Yeah. But Bobby says in his book, spiritual war fighting against Satan for souls is just as brutal and just as vicious. And we need to recognize that. Satan has a grip on so many people's hearts. Satan has a grip on so many people's souls. Are we willing to pray? Are we really willing to witness to break that grip? All Christians wage war against Satan, and all Christians are to rescue lost souls from the devil. Jude 23 says, snatching them as it were out of the fire of hell. Yeah, some people need to be snatched, okay? We are in a war and it's real. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not from your own lust? Yeah. Sun Tzu in The Art of War said, the general who advances without coveting fame and retreats without fearing disgrace, whose only thought is to protect his country and to do good service for his king, is the jewel of that kingdom. The soldier that's not after fame, the soldier that's not after credit, the soldier that only wants to protect his country and serve his king is the real jewel of that country. And it's the same for us as we fight in the Christian faith. In Westminster Abbey, Lord Lawrence's epitaph on the wall next to his grave, it gives his name, the date of his death, and then this is all it says about the man. He feared man so little because he feared God so much. He feared man so little because he feared God so much. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13:5, that we may say the Lord is our helper. What shall we fear that men can do unto us? The Lord is my helper. John Foster Dulles, the Secretary of State of the United States, said, the world will never have lasting peace so long as men reserve for war the finest human qualities. Peace, no less than war, requires idealism and self-sacrifice and a righteous and dynamic faith. Yes, it does. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And it starts by you having peace with God, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it comes through accepting Jesus as your Savior. We're going to sing hymn number 275, I Surrender All, I Surrender All.